All right. Good morning, CKLN listeners. Sorry about being a little bit late. Trying to play the CRTC promo here, but cannot do that. So you are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening for Friday, the 23rd of May. No, June. No, July. Oh, my goodness. Time flies. And let's see here. All right. This will be good. I hope. And that means you are also listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. CKLN.fm online and Rogers Cable Box 947. And, yeah, we have certain responsibilities to broadcast good. If you want a copy of those responsibilities, check out the CRTC or drop by the station here at Church and Gould. I'm going to give you some bobs so I can break in. It is soaking wet out there, darn near apocalyptic, so, hopefully Bob makes you and I feel a little better while I get settled in. Thanks so much. Oh, and I'm guest hosting for JP today. He's off today. I chose a torrential downpour to take a break, and so I'll see if I can fill his admirable shoes, you know, for your listening enjoyment. Hope you like jamming too, CKLN listeners. Here on Friday, July 23rd, 2010, a rainy and apocalyptic day here in Toronto. Although, all in all, not too unpleasant. I was just caught in a torrential downpour myself. I have not walked through rain like this. I haven't seen rain like this. I can't recall anyway, except for when I was in Bangkok, Thailand. And, I was a few years ago, and I was there with my girlfriend and her two brothers, and we were traveling to India, Thailand, and Malaysia. And I recall us standing on one side of a fairly normal-looking street downtown underneath some cover with my three friends for half an hour, just because we didn't want to get absolutely soaked right through for the rest of the day by just walking 30 seconds in Thailand through that rain. And every once in a while, we'd put our hands under it and just feel the huge clumpy drops. So, not quite that bad right now, but certainly bad enough. And I am soaked through. My jeans are a different color. My little jackety thing is off. My socks and shoes are soaked through. And yet, whatever. As Bob Marley said, the one good thing about music, when it hits you, feel no pain. But why did he say that? Why do we need to feel no pain? What's the deal here? Well, I'm not sure. JP has authorized me to kind of say what I say on his Friday morning Rude Awakening, which this is his show from 6 to 7 a.m. And I just asked him, I said, you know, is your audience used to anything, any style? You know, we all know here in Canada that we have different ways of saying things with different people. And it's not even, you know, because we're trying to lie necessarily. It's just that because there's so many different people here and there are so many different roles that we feel we should play in different environments. So you're a different person with your family, different person with your friends, different person at work, different person with, you know, maybe your sports team. Different person with maybe your secret society. You know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can be different out there. And yet, what is the point? What is the point of any and all of this? Well, I suppose the point is for us to get along. You know, the point is for us to get along, and the point is for us to try and be polite enough to each other to help each other out. And to stay out of each other's way, and so on and so forth. And if somebody wants to light a spliff, you want to be cool with that too. So, you know, there you go. We have a great city here and a great country where we're all very, very nice to each other. You know, of course, you know, there you can look at it the opposite way as well. There's enough of that going on. But by and large, we've got a fairly decent population to work with. But what are we working on? Well, it seems like we are working on taking it easy a fair amount of time, And you know, and we feel we deserve it. We work hard, and we pay too much in taxes, and we don't have enough free time. And there's so many things that we want to do that we want to relax a lot. We want to kick back, watch some TV, grab a beer, watch a movie, just have some fun with it. And because we have an environment where we can do that, and a culture where we can do that, it's made us. Think that it's guaranteed, and that this is the way, if not it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be. And every generation thinks that about how they're living. And on my shows, as your host, I'm taking over for JP today. He asked me to guest host. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, hosting Rude Awakenings Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And Monday evenings, Word of Mouth Mondays, where I do an interview show, where I interview experts. And my focus in this area, at this time in history, 10.5 years into the 21st century, is on the New World Order, or the forces behind globalization, sort of interconnected, super-rich, bloodthirsty people worldwide, who,
Oh,
That's right, I'm talking about the people who give the crazy bald heads, a.k.a. our politicians, their orders, their new world orders, as it were. And Canada is currently in the midst of a global corporate financial takeover, much like the rest of the world. The G20 summit here in Toronto was a representation of the political side of global governance, or world governments, under... the control of international, offshore bankers and corporations, banks and corporations, and financiers, Wall Street, London, and other financiers, who are basically saying, look, we're going to publicly tell you that these 20 countries are, in fact, making decisions for the entire world and all 200 countries and 6.8 billion people in it. And yet, for those of us who live in these 20 countries, including Canada, we know that that our countries are controlled by corporations, corporate lobbyists, special interest groups, who demand things like cheaper labor costs and worse environmental and safety standards. And at the core of all this, at the very very top of the pyramid, as far as we can see, with respect to the forces behind the New World Order and globalization, they are eugenicists. That's why so many things are bad for us. Even these 99-cent Arizona iced teas, which I'm drinking right now, are full of, it says here, high fructose corn syrup. And the Washington Post, mainstream American newspaper, had an article that last summer, I'd say, that said high fructose corn syrup has high levels of mercury in it. So, what does that mean? Well, mercury, known for hundreds of years, is bad for your brain, bad for your intelligence, bad for your health, and like so many other things in our culture. And yet, with so many toys to play with, we kind of feel like we just want to play. And I was thinking about this, crap a lot, because to me, this is nothing. Like, what it is and what to do about it is nothing. Just how to say it in a way that resonates with people is the only last step. You know, if you say, oh, come on, man, it's really easy, you spend a couple hours a week, you know, to burn some copies of important DVDs with information on them and hand them out to people, drop them off places, just leave it with them, you don't even need to argue with nobody, just, you know, do that and then get on about your biz, or put up some posters or hand out some flyers, or call in to talk radio shows that don't normally talk about this and introduce the topic, go on message boards of mainstream newspaper articles and make sure, like many people do all these things already, by the way, and so they've already proven the work, and comments, by trying to give people who read the article, the bigger picture, and if you want to get more complex with it, there's lots of ways to attack the system, and to kind of talk to the shadow government working behind the scenes, to kind of talk to the police, the military, and the intelligence officers in this country, whose responsibility it'll be to enforce this tyranny, as well as the bureaucrats, and to look at people who are trapped in positions where they might lose their job if they speak up, and to speak up for them. And so there's a ton of things that we can do. And the only reason we wouldn't is if we lack confidence in ourselves or confidence in others. And I got to tell you, that's the most pessimistic worldview ever, if that is in fact your worldview. Yeah, we're probably already screwed, but there's probably nothing we can do. That's the most depressing crap I've ever heard of, so I'm not having it. I'm hoping you're not having it neither, because, there's no point in taking it. And we can't just keep it happy all the time in the New Age way we're supposed to, where you're not supposed to talk about this stuff, you're not supposed to get anything serious, you're not supposed to whatever, because then you just get scared of it. And guys especially, men especially, age 25 to 45 especially, who can do the most heavy lifting in this culture, if in fact this is heavy stuff on behalf of women, children, and the elderly. You know, I think they have a responsibility to handle this stuff. Now, I got a call coming in. I'm going to figure out what this caller wants by bringing him on air, so give me one sec. Good morning, caller. You are on
air.
Hey,
Krishna.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Krishna.
Yes.
Hello.
What do you got to say, caller?
Hello, hello.
Caller, what do you have to say?
Hey, I agree with you most of the time, but the only thing I'm going to disagree with you with, I don't want to hear you praising Jim the Mint and all of those crazy people, man. I am a Jamaican, and I heard you say that you are from an Indian background. They would spit on us, man. Those guys with their liquor, they don't read the documents that they pass. Yeah, yeah. When they were getting all those documents from Bush and the right-wing crowd, they didn't care to read it. All of a sudden, they are concerned about what that's in it. It's all nonsense, and those guys are racist, man. So when Jim the Mint sounds like he's coming off like he's a conscious person, don't buy that, man. And you're too smart to buy that right wing crap, man. Okay, that's all I'm saying. But usually,
I think the left wing, you know, caller, stick around for a sec. I think the left wing, I think the left wing's full of crap too. That's my problem. Is that if you say don't buy that right-wing crap, then you're buying that left-wing crap. And I'm saying they're both full of crap.
I'm not buying it because nobody is perfect, man.
So wait a minute. How come the left gets nobody's perfect, but the right gets their full of crap? Why does the left get a free pass?
Because
why?
You prove their actions, man. Their actions. They have never voted for, agreed to anything for minorities or poor people. At least some left-wing people sometime will throw you a bone. Those writing people ain't throwing you no bone, man.
Hey, man, that bone.
You know that.
Why they throwing you a bone? They throwing you under the bus. What do you think that bone is? What do you think that bone is?
But the right wing give us nothing, man. Come on. They
actually
do nothing.
Look,
but send us to
I'll
war,
tell you this.
Man.
Look, man, the left and right, there are people that use the mainstream political system just to get put on. People
exactly.
Like Ron Paul, who I trust Ron Paul. I don't trust Ron Paul. I don't trust anybody 100%. All right? I could flip on Alex Jones. I could flip on Paul. I could flip on
Thank
the left.
You very much.
I got no issues because I trust myself.
Thank
and
you
so
much.
What you do today, I'll take a look at. And what you do tomorrow, I'll take a look at. And if it changes, then I'm going to change.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, as for Jim DeMint, I'm not pro Jim DeMint, anti Jim DeMint, but I'll tell you this, caller, if you say something intelligent, I'm going to judge that. I'm not going to look through your whole background. You feel me? Like at this time in history, anybody that says anything that can help us, we need to use the information, not them. I don't need to start worshiping Jim DeMint or Ron Paul or Jack Layton like they're Jesus Christ.
I will go even further. I'm not listening to them. I'm looking at how they vote. I'm looking at their actions. Because a lot of the time, they talk certain things, and when they go into the house, they vote a different way. So I'm not listening to not one thing they say. I'm looking at their voting patterns. That's what I'm looking at. And I am with you. I judge everything by what you say, and most importantly, what you do. Anyway, I'm on the road listening to you. Coming in from the west, going in Toronto. Keep it up, my brother. I don't want a $155 ticket, but I had to give you a shout, man, because you're the hardest working guy on radio, man.
Thank you, brother. Have a great day.
You too. And lick up the bob, man. Lick up the bob.
Thank you. Be safe. We're going to lick a shot.
Yeah, man. Ciao.
All right. That was a Jamaican caller. I heard from him before, and I think he's great. I think his heart's in the right place. I think most people's heart's in the right place. And so what's the next stage? It's just information. Because we're not scrapping in the streets. We're not fighting. We're all different colors and races here. And we don't just start, you know, stuff doesn't just jump off in this culture just because we're different. So that's not the issue. You know, whatever ideological differences the people in charge of the world, the establishment, have set up for us to fall into, most of the time we ignore them unless we're all worked up into fighting. And that's what the divide and conquer strategy is. Left, right, black, white, Coke, Pepsi, Nike, Reebok. You know, they always give us two sides to choose from. And then get us arguing and defending sides that aren't even properly representing us. And so what can we do today? What can we do? It's the 21st century, damn it. Have we learned anything over the last 5,000 years of being managed in different ways by kings, queens, oligarchs, dirty politicians, dirty corrupt corporate crooked leaders? Have we learned anything from this? Well, I would say we have. How do we know that we've learned it? Not just I learned it, not just you learned it, not just the wise man on the hill learned it, but how do we know that we've learned it? Well, we've learned it. We've learned that we've learned it because we've shared it on the internet, especially in the last 10 years or so, especially since the 9/11 attacks of 2001, which were an inside job. And if 9 years later you refuse to look at that and look into 9/11, refuse to watch 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, 9/11 Mysteries, Part 1, Demolitions, Loose Change, Second Edition, seen by 100 million people, if you still refuse to look at that, then that's mind control. Now, if you know people in our culture will refuse to look at that, and then you are open-minded enough to look at that and to look into these areas, then you've beaten that mind control. But the only way you could beat that mind control is by looking into this stuff and figuring out where the truth is, and figuring out that you can't just, you know, like all the Obama fans right now, they can't see nothing. They can't see nothing. That Obama, you can ask him. I've asked him for a year. What's Obama doing? Oh, he's changing the tone and he's, but no, what's he doing? What's the policy? Much like Mr. Jim DeMint's policy that was outed by the collar. What's Obama's policy? And if you look at his policies, they're all horrible. Even healthcare, horrible. Written by the insurance companies. That's why their stock prices jumped right after it was passed. Because they knew it was a big boondoggle for them. So Obama's horrible, and before him, Bush was horrible, and right now, Obama's supporters can't see, what he's up to, and before him, Bush supporters couldn't see what he was up to, and before him, Clinton supporters couldn't see what he was up to, and before him, Bush senior supporters couldn't see what he was up to, and before him, Reagan supporters couldn't see what he was up to, and before him, Jimmy Carter supporters couldn't see. You see what I mean? By making the other side so scary that you have to have faith in your political ideology, that's how they trap us. That's how they trap us. Because they will make you hate someone so much that, you know, you almost got to love the other side for protection. You know, a bunch of Americans back in 2003 were taught to hate Saddam Hussein so much, you know, that they agreed to blow up Iraq. You know, 30 million people there. Already after 10 years of UN sanctions strangling the country, they were weak as a kitten, but they were sold to the American people as the biggest threat like ever, and so the American people had to love their government. And so that's on the macro level. You can see how it works on entire countries, and on smaller and smaller levels it works in politics. And this goes right back to high school. Right back to freaking high school. You know, if you a Marilyn Manson loving goth and you're all dressing in black, then you hate the preppies. And if you're a preppy and you've got a tennis sweater tied around your neck, then you hate the goths. And so on and so forth. So we got to get past all this by figuring out who runs the game and what we can do. On that note, from the Alex Jones Show, there's been some recent developments that have shown both the latest online censorship efforts, including global internet regulations that are focused on content, including exactly the sort of thing you're hearing flying out of my mouth right now. And in a nutshell, here's what happened. The Obama deception, seen by about 20, 25 million people, came out in March of 2009, shortly after Obama took the job as president in January, because we knew who he worked for. You know, I mean, you could have judged Bush on, what's Bush going to do? I don't know. He's former drunk, former cokehead, used to own a baseball team, used to dabble in oil. I think he's going to, you know, watch a lot of baseball and eat oily fries. You can make up any sort of nonsense, but to really know what Bush was going to do, you'd have to look at the people surrounding Bush. The Project for a New American Century, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, all these neoconservative scumbags who were pretty open in their ideas and ideologies and fairly well known for them. If you just looked at them, then you'd know what Bush is going to do, because you just look at the people who tell Bush what to do. And when it comes to Obama, you just have to look at Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, and the big foundations that he came out of, and his 2 years of corporate loving, which you knew he'd have to pay back. And you know, because I can't get on TV every day. I can't get on the magazines every day. I can't have people show nothing but flattering pictures of me and write nothing but great articles about me for 2 freaking years in the corporate media. Everybody, even the right wing. I can't. Even the left and right. Everybody was riding Obama's jock, which proves not only that Obama was a product and a plan to be sold to us to sell us hope and then rip the pull the rug out from under us. But it also proves the existence of a unified threat that we all face. A unified system that controls both the left and the right, that controls most activism, most academia, and Hollywood, you know, because you remember all the mixtapes and celebrities, go Obama, Obama's a man, because everybody knew what to say. It just takes a small amount of people to control what we're supposed to say to get us to start saying it. And that's how they work. So what happened? Well, the Obama deception was pulled. The copy with the most views, 6.5 million views, was pulled from youtube.com/change.channel in what appeared to be a Google, YouTube, NSA, CIA, because they're all connected in together, inside job. You know, and then it was pulled back up, and then Alex Jones from Infowars.com, 15-year veteran of this fight, with a ton of work under his belt, that certifies him as probably the most important figure in political history if we want to actually beat these guys as opposed to just complain about them until they beat us. He had his listeners try and push the Obama deception to number one on Google and Yahoo Trends. So I'm going to play a bit of that. Tons and tons of internet censorship stuff going on out there, folks. But I'm going to give you a bit of Jones, just to give you an idea of what we can actually do. I've been saying for years, and I can list off 100 things that are bad. But I'd rather say the good thing is that we can beat these guys. There's enough of us. We have the communications technology today. We can get it out there. And nobody's going to front on you for trying today. You know, I just saw an article yesterday saying Bank of Canada says Canada's economy about to sharply downturn, you know, against quote-unquote previous estimates or previous lies they gave us to get us playing like children while, you know, while they manage the process of depressing us. With a crappy economy and a depression. We can stop all of this. All of this. There are enough people that know about this, and there are enough people that know ways out of this when it comes to social, you know, socio-cultural advice, self-help advice, good political decisions, good public policy. There's too many people that are on it like that. We just need more people to know and more people to show to show the system that they can't pull this crap anymore. So, who the cap fit, wear it. And Alex Jones, with how we can show people who should be wearing what cap.
You were talking about, you know, what people look at as important these days, and when I crack open my Yahoo page, which is my homepage, they have this thing called Trending Now, and you'll see stuff like Lindsay Lohan, American Idol, Raw Wrestling, Dancing with the Stars, and then the sixth thing at the end of the very last article, guess what it was?
What?
The BP oil spill. That's what kind of priorities our country has these days.
You know, that's a great point. Is what is that trend you're looking at? Google Trends or what is it?
No, you know, it's on my Yahoo. I have a Yahoo account.
You know, I meant to write a story about that. I'm going to talk about when we come back. Great points, Tim. God bless you. Now, Tim brought up something that has really been on my heart heavily. A key tool in the info war that we have not used. Now, in the last decade, many times Paul Watson, and in the last 4 or 5 years, Kurt working with us, Kurt Nemo, and others, have written blurbs at Infowars.com.
Article, guess what?
Have not used. Now, in the last decade, many times Paul Watson, and in the last 4 or 5 years, Kurt working with us, Kurt Nemo, and others, have written blurbs at Infowars.com.
They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Friends, we are back live. Glenn Spencer coming up here from the front lines of what's happening in Arizona. A lady, Rosa Maria, called in from New York. For those that just joined us, she was describing that she traveled.
Sorry,
to New
folks.
York
Internet's acting up. Gonna flip you to a different Jones clip.
Sclerosis, I believe she said. She has a service dog that's a miniature pincher. Those are pretty sweet dogs. A police officer pulled her over, bullhorned her out, said, "Get on your knees. Finish up your story of what happened, Rosa Maria."
At that point, I'm on my knees, and they put me into the back of the cruiser, and with multiple sclerosis, heat is definitely a factor, and it was the 4th of July on the I-17. A lot of traffic is going by watching what's happening. As they put me back in there, he went to the vehicle which I was driving. It was a rental, a car rental. He did not explain anything to me, and another cop came, opened the door to which my service animal had been sitting closest to. He weighed no more than 15, 16 pounds. A gentle creature, a service animal. I explained, I have multiple sclerosis. You're violating the ADA. I've not heard my rights. I explained, I have a service animal. He has his vest in the front seat. This is a car rental. The forms are in plain view in the front
and
seat.
And what
you
happened?
Have no probable cause.
What happened?
They opened the door. Duncan walked out calmly into oncoming traffic. And luckily was not hit. It was like watching my child. He ran southward. They chased him. More came. More cops came. They chased him northbound. In the meanwhile, I'm in the back asking for air. The cuffs were very tight on me. I was told if I spoke, I would be gagged. It wasn't told. I was shouted. And then Duncan, I came back toward the cruiser. I am his responsibility. He has to come to Mama. They would not let me open. They would not open a window for me to simply whistle and call his name to have him come.
Now, it's all about control and power, and it's such a war zone in Arizona, and so many people are being killed, and Mexico is collapsing, that these type of things happen. But how did – and it's terrible because, I mean, I see the reports of where they go to the old woman's house. Her grandson hadn't lived there in 18 years. They've got a drug warrant. She puts the little dog in the bathroom. They open the door and shoot the dog. I mean, it's just craziness. It's all this macho, you know, attitude, and it's out of control. But I mean, how did this end?
They chased, basically, they lied to me. They said, "Dog will come back." They chased him to his death. He was hit by traffic on the I-17, and I never saw him again. I had MS, and he was my source of independence. And on Independence Day, he was taken from me. So,
I'm so sorry, Rosa Maria, but why did they say they pulled you over?
I was not cited for anything. I was told that perhaps, I assumed, why would I be pulled over? Perhaps speeding. I was going with the flow of traffic, and they never cited me. And on the Facebook.com/justiceforduncan, spelled like Dunkin Donuts, D-U-N-K-I-N, you can see the photographs of the incredible bruising on both my wrists.
All right, we're gonna put it up, but just say that again. Justice for Duncan.
Yes.
And that's on Facebook.
Facebook.com, yes, /justiceforduncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. I also have a blog spot as well that is at the Justice for Duncan .blogspot.com. Again, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N.
Did they apologize for getting your dog killed?
No, absolutely nothing. No apology. And the first thing I did, because I'm an intelligent woman, I started to take pictures. As soon as I was there for 3 hours, Alex, on the side of the road, on the 4th of July, screaming.
Yeah, but they showed you who the boss was. They didn't let you whistle for the dog. And that's what matters, is that government's your God. The good news is in Arizona they've revolted against the speed cameras. They're now removing them. People are wearing guns openly, and they're saying no to the tyranny. And not all police are like that, but they are very cold, and they need some common sense. And I'll check into your story. I'm sorry to hear that, Rosa. You know, there's her little dog. A tiny little dog. In fact, blow that up for people on screen that are watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. Let's blow those photos up for people. This is just outrageous.
He's been suffering ever since, and he was. I also have a video of our. You can see our happiness, and he really, truly. I needed nothing with Duncan. I needed him, and he needed me, and they took him, and he would have been 8 years old on October 23rd, and he was. I was looking to move to Arizona to move. I lived in Arizona for almost 10 years and moved to New York to Manhattan, and I was looking to reestablish myself there for our sake, for Duncan and my sake. He was my unconditional love. I looked forward to a time when we can go back. And now, Sedona, Arizona, there is the energy there is no good, and there's no way I'll go back there unless it is for press.
Well, this is heartrending, and. You know, we need police stopping criminals, not out there revenue generating. But, again, they're now saying nationwide they're not going to respond to crime, only they're going to raise money. The police are being converted to tax collectors, and good police that ask for help are not being given it. God bless you, Rosa Maria. I'm sorry to have to know that happened to you, and it hurts my heart because I have dogs that I love. I have a Chihuahua and a French Bulldog, and they're members of the family. I appreciate Glenn Spencer holding the last 5 minutes while we finished her story. But I wanted people to be able to have her finish up. Boy, I tell you, that's an amazing story, Glenn.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Glenn, for those that just joined us, you haven't been on in a while, and we appreciate you coming on. Tell folks about your saga, working with Native American tribes, helping folks, being run out of L.A., being in Arizona. And you say things are really heating up there. We've had 17 machine guns in Mexico just 2 days ago, car bombs going off. 40 people dying trying to come in just in one county at the coroner. I mean, it is really disintegrating, and Mexico is disintegrating.
Well, we know why it is. We've been trying to tell the people why it is. We know what started it. We know what caused the drug war to start in Mexico. We know why there was violence. We know why people are dying in the desert without being saved. But, of course, it's only people like you who will give us a platform to explain to the people what's going on.
Well, you've got drones up. We're putting up some photos you took from drones of just the hundreds of thousands of illegals pouring across. What do they estimate in Arizona alone a year? What is it, 500,000 illegals come across?
Well, probably, yeah. That's the total estimate of the number who actually get past Border Patrol and enter the United States through Arizona illegally. Nobody really knows because they don't want to know. They don't want the people to know what's going on. But what we've been doing for the last 4.5 years is flying the border from the Gulf of Mexico right along the border, 500 feet, videotaping every inch, taking hundreds and thousands of photographs, and plotting where the fence went in. But the important thing we learned, and we didn't know it when we were doing it, we didn't realize that the unintended result would be that we could then start relating, as the fence went in, what happened. I used to fly along the border near Yuma, Arizona, and there is a Goldwater bombing range there that runs right along the border. And you can't fly over it because it has a restricted airspace that goes up to 80,000 feet. But I made a special arrangement with the FAA to allow me to fly in Mexico along the border. I don't think anybody had ever thought of that. So we were able to get, starting 4 years ago, detailed records of what that border looked like. When we started out, that Goldwater bombing range was one of the biggest drug smuggling corridors in the United States, if not the largest. We have documented evidence, thousands and thousands of tire tracks running right off of Mexican Highway 2 up to Interstate 8. And what happened? Because of the pressure that was put on them, they started building a fence in 2006, 2005, across that smuggling corridor, and they plugged it. They also plugged one between Yuma and Calexico, where all those sand dunes are. You see all the dune buggies out there? At night, those dune buggies are usually loaded with drugs. That's now been plugged. Around Douglas and where I live now, they've plugged the drug corridor. But what I wondered, I said, look, this has had to have an impact. And this is available on our site, AmericanBorderPatrol.com. scroll down there, and you'll see something that says, the fence and the Mexican drug war. You take a look at that, and when you walk away, you will realize that it was the fence and vehicle barriers that started the Mexican drug war. That's what triggered it. You had the Sinaloa cartel have a major part of its smuggling corridor cut off, and they went to war with the Gulf cartels and some of the others for access. For access, and they're still fighting over it. And it's getting worse. And what we're arguing is, look, this is what started it. If you finish the fence, you would end it.
Well, that's common sense, and I do think it's a major contributing factor. You also have the government of Mexico cracking down on the cartels, I guess, to control the money to launder, and
why would a government crack down on the cartels cause them to start killing each other? It doesn't make any sense. I've studied this for a year and a half, and if you look at all of the reports now that have been coming in for the last 2 years, they're fighting over access to drug smuggling corridor.
No, that's admitted. I think it's one of the main contributing factors. I'm not disagreeing with you. Well, when we talked to you yesterday about getting you on the show, you said things are really about to blow up. And we're going to come back from break. I want to get into that with you and then also talk about the ranchers that have been murdered, the homes that have been burned down, everything that's happening in Arizona, and the federal response to come in and sue the state for the state simply saying, if we stop somebody from drunk driving and they're an illegal alien, we're going to go ahead and arrest them. And the feds are saying no. They're also saying they're going to protect the sanctuary cities and not go after them. Glenn Spencer is our guest, and he's been on the front lines for many years. We'll get his bird's eye view on things straight ahead.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life.
And we're back, folks. A little random clip of the Alex Jones Show talking about what's going on in Arizona. As you can see, when conditions get really, really bad for people, well, they tend to, you know.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the pier. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a all that Peter sold after the story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Now, Bob was saying this back in the 70s. Half the story has never been told. Unfortunately, based on the fact that it's the same oligarchs running the world for several generations now, we are in the exact same boat today. Only the difference is, in the InfoWar, well,
great God will come from the sky, take away everything, and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth, and now you see the light.
In the InfoWar, we can see how we can beat these guys by looking for ours on Earth. You know, there is a movement out there, the conscious movement, the New Age movement, that teaches us that we can be conscious and get in touch with the universe by skipping the immediate reality around us. I'll tell you this much, if you want to get to the universe, start with your family, then get to your friends, then get to your community, then get to your city, then get to your province or state, then get to your country, then get to your world, and then get to the universe. Don't think you can skip all those steps, because you can't. What you'll end up doing is you'll end up trying to escape the world in your own little fantasy of, you know, what consciousness might be, or vibrating, you know, like your harmonics are tuned with the universe, and we're all interconnected and all this mumbo-jumbo stuff. And you ignore the fact that you're being given cancer by the aspartame in your Diet Coke. or by the vaccines you took because you don't know, you know, the risks of vaccines, or by the fluoride in our water supply, even though Montreal and Vancouver don't use it. And here in this election year in Toronto, with candidates Smitherman and Ford, among others, not saying anything for, you know, 8 months now, 9 months now, nothing of note anyway, nothing in the debates, nothing that Ann's been able to tell me, nothing that I've been able to find. It's time for people to make this an election issue and make real things election issues. Because as you heard in Arizona, with, you know, the federal government, which is the one that is most directly linked to the international power structure that controls things like the United Nations, the World Bank, the IMF, the International Criminal Court, and so on and so forth, thousands of NGOs socially engineering us, because they are going to try and crack down on the states and the provinces and the cities through pulling rank by, you know, saying they have this authority, and also by not just pulling rank, but by doing things like restricting transfer payments from our tax dollars that are funneled straight to the feds and then funneled back to us by the feds. They're going to try and crack down on us. And if we just trust our bureaucracies to react, a bunch of politicians to fight for us, we can't leave another cornerstone standing there behind, which is the info war. Currently, 73,000 blogs from WordPress were taken down, and the hosting site claims because one of them what might have been run by Al-Qaeda, created by the CIA in the late 70s and early 80s to fight with the Russians back during the Russian-Afghanistan war. And the CIA never lost their phone number. They're still in touch now. And every time the U.S. wants to destabilize a country, Al-Qaeda miraculously shows up. They showed up in Bosnia in the Yugoslavia war during Clinton's era. They showed up in Chechnya when the U.S. wants to antagonize the Russians and start scraps with the Russians. They show up in Africa when the U.S. wants to bomb some African country. Because as long as the government can tell us that Al-Qaeda's, you know, doing X, Y, or Z, then supposedly we're okay with them, you know, running CIA Predator drones through Pakistan, you know, basically unmanned drones operated like video games, dropping bombs on wedding parties. And so, you know, we can share this information out there, and there's enough proof that it's already worked because it's going on right now. So, you know, what can we do at this time? You folks listen to this show already probably know a lot of this. And going to give it up for some jazz in just a second to Tien here. I was going to spin for 4 hours. It's your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays through Thursdays, hosting 6 a.m. to 7 a.m.'s Rude Awakening. Today, this Friday, July 23rd, guest hosting for JP. And then I also host Mondays, Word of Mouth Mondays, where I do an interview show. So here today, what can you do? What can you tell people? Well, you can tell people, look, straight up, we know we got problems. We know we got a recession. So I'm suggesting we do a little something about it and lay out something careful. Don't take it to their face. Don't argue with them about a whole bunch of crap. Just calmly and confidently explain, you know, what we can do and put a bit more pressure on guys to man up on behalf of women, children, and the elderly simply because they're here and simply because that's what guys have done successfully for years. Before I go, a couple of websites to shout out, Infowars.com. Dan, you got 4 hours. You're cool with this, right? I can take another minute or so?
Yeah, take another minute.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, sir. I never know. Fresh new host to try and run my game on, to try and squeeze another 5 minutes to close the show strong, like a gymnast jumping off a pommel horse and wanting to land without taking a step. Couple of great websites to shout out for you. Infowars.com to catch more on the internet censorship, the UN control of that, and also great news there of people from around the world fighting back, general strikes in Europe, going on all the time. Europeans are kicking out international bankers and financiers like Goldman Sachs because people are getting mad. And people are happy to get mad when it's for a good reason. If you're just bitching and complaining about nonsense, then you're just going to get depressed. But if you're bitching and complaining about real stuff, then other people may get impressed if you get any good at it. So Infowars.com, a great place to jump off your adventures and to share with others. Naturalnews.com for great health news. TrendsResearch.com for great wealth news. And the future trends coming up. The fall of 2010 is supposed to be where a lot of stuff jumps off. So definitely start getting active now. Locally, press4truth.ca. Let's figure out what happened with the G20 martial law when they showed up in Toronto. That's what's supposed to happen after an economic collapse. We're supposed to have thousands and thousands of cops and soldiers basically locking down our cities and telling us, it's for our own good and convincing us we're scum and can't trust each other. And yet, if we go into the world with a message and a positive one with the intention of helping our fellow Canadians individually and our country as a whole, as a nation we want to keep in control, then people will respect that, and it'll change the character of our culture, and it'll keep it from being degraded by the New World Order, as the Muse song Uprising says. So press4truth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, another great place, another great group to join, about 400 members right now. ConspiracyCulture.com, in the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Great place here in Toronto. Grab some information, grab a DVD, grab some blanks, grab a burner, and share some info. And the Toronto Street News, great paper on the streets sold by the homeless out there. Flip a guy a toonie, get some good karma, get some good info, and then get in the business to figure out how to let other people know. Because we have to be confident about this. There are people confident about all sorts of crap. There's hockey fight loving, tough guy Canadian fans out there. UFC loving, tough guy Canadian fans. There's guys that say they'd fight for their country. Well, this is your opportunity, folks. Let's steer it up. And I leave you with 4 hours of jazz from your brilliant jazz programming host, Tien. And hey, have a great weekend. I will speak to some of you on Monday. And take care of yourself and take care of each other. Peace out.